these hands have done can save this guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Thy work alone, my Savior, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me healing.
You know, I just thought of something. What was our Sunday school lesson about?
Jesus.
And this song is the same thing. Ain't that a coincidence? It's not what these hands have done, but it's what Christ has done. That's something. Okay. Just thought I'd throw that in for free. Verse number 2.
Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers or sighs or tears can keep my awful love. The work alone, my Savior, can ease this place of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. Thy love to me, O God, not mine, O Lord, to thee, can rid me of this dark unrest and set my spirit free. Thy word alone, my Savior, can ease this weight of sin. Thy love, no meaner blood will do, no strength save that which is divine can bear me safely through. Thy work alone, my Savior, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. I praise the God of grace. I trust His love and pride. He called me His, I call Him mine. My God, my joy, my pride. Thy work alone, my Savior, this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within.
Amen. Okay, before we have a prayer, let's remember those on our prayer list. And if there's any that want to add to or take off, let me know. Let one of us know so we can keep this updated. But those on our prayer list this morning, our churches, the church at Silsby, and this, our church, we're without a pastor. So let's pray for not only us, but the church at Silsby. Those with health problems, Billy Andrews, Brenda Wallace's parents, Brett Thompson, Brother Burr, Carl and Sister Betty Carter, Brother Chris Cockrell in Mississippi, Brother Curtis Pugh. And Brother Curtis, let's especially remember him this morning. Lucian's been talking to him. Maybe you want to tell us, Lucian, about it. He's terrible pain.
Well, he sent me a text that said that he was in so much pain he almost passed out.
Right.
So, and it's his back and his left leg, I guess, I don't know. But he said he cannot get in a position where it is he can breathe. So he said it hurt so bad he almost passed out.
And that's Brother Curtis, and let's remember him. I know Lucian, you can relate to this. Constant pain. My mother had constant pain. It's just when you let's compare it to a toothache. It's constant pain, but the toothache to me is nothing compared to what he's describing. You know, you're gonna pass out. Let's pray for him, Brother Curtis. Of course, all these on this list, but Brother Curtis, he's pretty close to us. Brother Doug and Crystal Newell. Brother Doug Newell. Joey's dead. His wife just passed away here recently. Joey's mother. Just remember, Joey's dead. Brother Doug and the entire family. Brother James Hobbs and his family. Joe Ray Smith's wife, Ellen. And remember Joe Ray. He's not here this morning, but he has health problems. Lindy Davis. Brother Randy Johnson's wife, Donna. Ray Allen and Sister Susie. Brother Troy Shepherd and his family. Larry Millette. Remember Brother Lucian. Chronic pain. Corrine Frederick. Eugene Connor. John Hartman. Little Carly, Sister Shirlene's niece, grand niece, or yeah. This little thing about lost eyesight. Mary McReevy, Pastor Peter, and Sister Patty Horn, Sister Ellen, Sister Kathy Munn, Sister Minerva Hires, Ruthie McKellen, Ruth Kemp. Lyle Thomas's wife. We mentioned her last week. He's a pastor at Rehob Baptist in Illinois. She's past 80 years old in a nursing home on her back. They asked us to pray for her. Those in our missions we need to remember. Brother Charlie Andrews, and also let's remember Charlie as he preaches this morning. God would lead him. Brother Dan and Sister Sonny Sullivan in Thailand. Brother Frank James in Western Australia. Joey Newell at the nursing home. The church in Romania and the mission work there. Others that we need to pray for. Al Malo. Let's remember our young Christian converts here in our church as they grow. Brother Jerry Dodson, our former pastor, he has personal needs. Brother Jesse and Sister Charles C. Heron. Remember Brother Joy and Sister Jill in their daily walk. T.J. Hilly. Remember our government leaders. Those that are under discipline. Remember the nation of Israel. Pray for them. Our sister churches. Always remember them. They small just like us. They need our prayers. And anyone else, let me know. Brother Charlie, lead us in prayer this morning.
Humble expressions of your Heavenly Father. We see from this list that there's many requests. Most of all, Father, we are thankful. You are God.
Amen.
You are our God. That Jesus is our Savior. And He gave His life for us. Those that are your children, you know them personally. We ask, Father, that you might be with us. We pray that you would give us comfort and peace and knowing that you're with us. Father, you've been so good to us. That's what we love. We thank you that you can do all these things. And that you promise to do anything.
Amen.
Let's see, another one folded here. 276. Page 276. Sing a song for us.
Journey down here
'tis my Jesus, blessed Jesus. Like a shepherd, he is never so near. O'er the mountain, through the prairie, as he leads me close beside him, I'll stay. There is some.
Let's turn to number 182. And let's do what the song says. Let's stand up for Jesus.
Amen.
If everyone would, let's stand.
Amen.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the Lord. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey, for through the mighty conflict in this his glorious day, we that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Your courage rise with anger, and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, he dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, and marching unto prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be.
Please be seated.
Well, good morning. I've got my Bible stuffed all full of bookmarkers. I said, watch that guy that has his Bible stuffed all full of bookmarkers because he's aiming for war and got his guns pointed all kind of places. So y'all be gentle with me today, if you will, because I did not bring this for war, but for peace. First of all, if I could I speak my heart here for just a second? We talked about law, and we talked about not being saved by law and not staying saved by law and all this. But I also want you to understand that in Peter it says, be holy as I am holy. And it says, be sanctified as I am sanctified. And I'll be the first to admit I fail there greatly. And I will fight for any brother or any sister who feels sanctified in a certain manner or a certain thing to do, that they would stand in that thing and stay by that thing. So I want you to understand that if God moves you to get rid of some stuff in your life, more power to you. May God hold you up. May God bless you. And if you fail, I will not come down on you with the wrath of God, but I will pray that you get strengthened, get your bearings back, and continue on. Because I will be honest with you guys, I think I can. Every time that I think that I'm getting holier, I fall like a rock. Every time that I think that I'm getting more sanctified, I fall. Now, I don't know. Brother Curtis told me maybe that's God keeping you humble. I don't want to be that humble. I'd like to succeed. I'd like to do better. But I find that when I try to do better, I always see Him so high and Him so lifted up and Him so holy and me so unworthy. I was looking in 2 John, and that's not where I'm at, but it says, I'll see Him one day just as He is. I will see Him in all of His glory, in all of His array, and in all of His power, and I will be changed. On that day, I will be sanctified holy. On that day, I will be more than I've ever been in my life. It says in Revelation there that He is the brightness of heaven. He is the sun of suns, if I can say it that way. His light will outshine the very sun that He created. And I'm thinking that the day I see Him there, shame on me if I look around now, but my eyes will be so on Christ, I won't be looking to see if Manette's looking at Jesus. I won't be looking to see if anybody else is looking at Jesus, because I'm going to be looking at Jesus. I'm ashamed that I don't keep my eyes on Jesus now. And I'm ashamed that sometimes I put burdens on folks that I shouldn't need. I don't even put on myself. That's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees did. They put burdens on people that they couldn't even carry themselves. But one day, glory, hallelujah, she's around the curve. It's okay, unless she gets to the back. Praise the Lord. I wish I could crawl that fast. Anyways, I was in Revelation for just a minute, and I heard someone's sermon the other day, praise the Lord, and it says in Revelation chapter 4, verses 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And that was a pretty good doxology. But then it changes to the next chapter, verse 5, and it says, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And I bet it just gets louder and louder and louder for those who sing softly. And then I believe it turns over to chapter number 7. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Boy, could our lives be like that, that every day is a doxology that gets louder and louder and louder to proclaim the glory of God. And that was free. Now we're going to get to the sermon. If you will, turn into 2 Corinthians. Maybe you might put a bookmark in 2 Corinthians and maybe Romans 8, because I think they parallel each other quite well. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this day, and we thank you for your many blessings, and we thank you for your love and for your mercy and your grace, your tenderness to us, Lord, and your kindness to us. And Lord, help us to be all that we should be. We are soldiers. We are drafted into the army of God, Lord, and kind of like the man made war, we'll make you all that you can be. Lord, would you make us all that we can be, that you would strengthen us and encourage us and help us to fight the good fight of faith. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Therefore, seeing you have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. The mercy that we receive. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, and that life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. For then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that that which is knowing that he which raised us from is the Lord, shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for you, worketh for us a far more excellent and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And if you'll think about what it says in Romans 8, you'll see that all that just lines up. We are saved, those who are called out, according to His purpose. It tells ones that if God be for you, who can be against you? It says if God has done this for you and that for you and whatever, there's nothing that separates. It even says that we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's a hard one to chew on sometimes. That God might call me out to be a martyr or something of that nature just for him to get glory? And would I stand and be honorable in that thing and do the thing I'm supposed to do? But it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, if you're saved, if you've been born again, you have a ministry. Every single one. It's not just the preachers and it's not just the teachers. It's every single one of us have a ministry. It says that we have received mercy. First of all, we preach about the mercy of God, how He saved us from our lost condition, our hopeless place we were, how He saved us by His marvelous grace, by His mercy, He did it. It says, we have this thing that we faint not. Because God had spared nothing of the greatest of goodness of God, His own Son, for my benefit, I should faint not. I should stand fast, as it says in some places. I should hold to the things of God. I should hold to the truth. It says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. While I must admit, I don't get everything right. I do not try to trick people into believing the gospel. I do not try to finagle things like some of the folks on TV may do and say, if you'll do this, God will make you rich. If you do this, God's got to take care of your family. If you do this, God's got to do that. God doesn't come with a gotta plan. He comes with a saved by mercy plan. And He works everything out in each one of our lives to bring us to the place He'd have us to be. Says, I don't want to trick anybody. Because if I tricked you into being saved, or thinking you're saved, because you wouldn't be saved if I tricked you. If I tricked you into thinking that you had something that you didn't have, it would not bring you any justice. You'd be a happy-go-lucky, I'm on my way to heaven, living like the devil, going to hell person, if I tricked you. Now I understand that if people do get tricked, they get made to do a false profession, but get people off their back sometime. That if God, and when God does move on that person, He still has the power to undo all my undoing and save somebody and bring them out of darkness into the glorious light of the gospel. It says that God can do that. Not me by fancy words, not me by... Now don't get me wrong, I shouldn't try to puff up the gospel. It's plain. The death, the burial, the resurrection, that Christ came, the glory of God, became a man in the flesh and died for sinners. And He will save every one of His own. It says, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That is a hard thing to do. That Paul would live such a life that you could look at his life and could find no mess up in his life that you could condemn anything that what he preached. Man, could I be such a guy? Man, that could any of all of y'all be such guys that people could look at our lives and say, everything he did was just... You could look at where he ate, where he slept, how he talked, how he walked, how he did, and everything lined up with the truth of the gospel. Man, could we all be like that? That would be great. But if our gospel is be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. How many times have I preached Jesus Christ? How many times have I known that there were folks amongst me hearing the very words and did not receive the grace of God? How many times have any of y'all witnessed to somebody over and over and over, knowing that they needed the grace of God, and yet nothing seemed to happen? I've got news for you. Something's always happening. We may not see it. The first guy that witnessed to me years and years ago, I don't know if he's alive or dead now, but at the time he never saw any fruit. But I never forgot what he said. It was there. It was in my heart working on me, doing something to me, and mostly showing me I was bound for hell because I knew that I had rejected the grace of God. It's all right. We can all write ourselves into thinking, I've heard the story, I know what the truth is, and yet I still don't want it. We understand. Our brains are not doofy. When somebody tells you, believe on Jesus and be saved, and we say, yeah, I understand that. And we still go on about our own way because it takes God to do something. It takes God to work on something. It says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world. We talked about some things in Sunday school, but it's hard to get a hold of. But even in the Bible, it says there is a God of this world. Now, I understand God the Father is over everything. He's way outside, inside, and all around this world. But for some reason, when man fell, Satan got opportunity. Said, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. It's bad enough that we fool ourselves. It's bad enough that we deceive ourselves. It's bad enough that we have a sinful nature. But we have a God of this world who would like to keep us hid. We don't have to bow down and pray to Him. We don't even have to do obeisance to Him. He's tickled to death that He has us blinded. He's tickled to death that we're following after Him. It says, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Now he thinks he's doing big things. And he is doing big things as far as he's concerned. But I got another verse right down there in a few more places. It talks about God commanding the light to shine. But right now, if you're not a believer, right now, if you're not saved, right now I want you to know that there is a devil who is messing with you, who's fighting against you, who don't want to see you walk the aisle, who don't want to see you believe in Jesus Christ, who don't want to see you do anything for God, and he wants you to stay right where you are. Right where you are. No better, no worse. You're a good old boy. You're a good old girl. You're happy where you're at. The God of this world loves it that way. And as long as you think you're okay, he's going to leave you right where you're at. Why does he have to mess with you? He messes with me. Because I already know that I've been saved. If you're a believer, he's messing with you because you've been saved. But as long as you will not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to leave you right where you're at. Because why should he mess you up if you're already deceived? You're already full of your own lust. You're already full of your own pride. You're already letting him lead you about doing the things he'd like to do. Whatever you're trying not to give up, he's in charge of it. Whatever you're trying to hang on to, he's got you fooled with it. Oh, one more date, one more this, one more that, one more of those. Whatever you think you're waiting on, the God of this world, the devil, has you blinded. Not just right there in the book. It just says it. For we preach not ourselves. I'm not talking about getting good because of me. I'm not getting good because of your grandpa or your grandma. I'm not trying to tell you don't become a Baptist because it's a thing to do. I'm telling you believe on Jesus Christ. That's the thing to do. I'm telling you, so we preach not ourselves but Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Holy One, the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Not just a little thing. Not just a small thing. He is Lord. One day, you'll bow. Preferably, I hope you bow on this side of the eternal life. I hope you bow. I hope God moves on every single soul in this place. I hope God saves who needs to be saved in this place. I hope He does it today, if that be His will. But it says, I preach Him as Lord. One day, every knee shall bow, every mouth shall confess, and everybody will call Him Lord. That don't mean everybody's going to heaven. It says, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, if you'd asked me before I got saved, and says, you know, one of these days you're going to preach the gospel, you're going to tell people about Jesus, I said, you are crazy. I ain't none of that. I ain't going to get caught up in all that stuff. I ain't going to do none of that stuff. But after salvation, after the new man was created, after something changed in my heart and I saw where I was and where I was headed and what God is bringing me to, I do not want to see anyone go the other way. I don't want to see anybody go to hell. In fact, in my old man, I might even told some people maybe to do that, but in my new man, I said, what a wicked thing to do to tell somebody to go there. In anger and in frustration, I may have told somebody, go there. Shame on me for even having a thought like that. And in my saved man, I would never, ever want to say that to anyone. I do not desire you to go there. I do not want you to go there. I want you to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's only two ways. There's only one truth, the two ways. You can go to heaven or you go to hell. There ain't no purgatory, as gets mentioned in some other places, or no happy resting place till you get recuperated and find out the truth. There's no extra schooling that takes place after this life. Either you'll die or get raptured out of here. Either you die saved or you die lost. There ain't no in between. There ain't no place. You never find in Luke 16 where he tells the man, says, now after you've been here a while, your money can buy you out. Never. He was a rich man. If money could get you out, if money could buy you out, that man had money. Nowhere does it say he bought his way out. And nowhere does it say, now after you've cooked a while, after you've had time to reflect on all your deeds, then we'll let you out. When you go to where you're going to go after you take your last breath, it's over. It's settled. Done deal. This may take longer than I thought. For God, here's where I give God glory. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's God that woke me up to the need of Jesus Christ. It's God who quickened my spirit. It's God who saved me. It's God who will keep me. It's God who holds me in His hands to do with as He pleases. And whatever He pleases, He has the right to do it. It says, it is God who made it where I could see the truth. It is God who did these things. He commanded the light to shine. If you're a believer in here, you can take comfort in that God opened your eyes. You can take God that God made the thing inside you alive to quicken you. It is God that worketh in you to do all His good pleasure. It is God who has sealed you with the Holy Spirit. It says, whew. And He shined in our hearts. You see, man does not confess with the brain. It says a man believes in his heart. In the mind, we can have all kind of things going on. In the mind, we can think we're going to do something later. In the mind, we can put things off and say, I'll handle that later, God. But when it gets to your heart, when it gets to your heart, it cuts you in the heart. It pricks you in the heart. It touches you in the heart and you can't get away. Oh, man. To give the light of the knowledge. I don't know what all I knew when He saved me, but I knew one thing. He saved me. I didn't know none of this grace stuff. I didn't know none of this election stuff. I didn't know how to be no religious fanatic. All I know is the day He saved me, He saved me. And I'm so glad He saved me. I'm even gladder that He taught me all this other stuff. But I am glad that He reached down to where I was. He reached down in the cesspool of fire and brimstone and jerked me out, set me on a solid rock. And guess what? He did every single bit of it. I didn't help Him. In fact, while He was doing the saving, I was fighting. While He was doing the saving, I'm saying, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to be religious. But I sure don't want to go to hell. And I ain't so much worried about being in heaven. I want to be with Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand the glory of the great things in heaven and stuff like that. But I want to be with the One who died for me. I want to be with the One whose hands are pierced for me. The One whose side was sliced open for me. The One whose crown of thorns was beat on His head for me. The One who was whipped for me. The One who became a man. Which He didn't have to do. He didn't have to save a one of us. And He did it all to please the Father. They had it all worked out. They had it all figured out. They knew, says, if Charlie's ever going to get to heaven, or to even to Jesus, we've got to fix it. We've got to fix it. We've got to make something happen. So they did. Praise God. It says, but we have treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. If it were not for the Holy Spirit of God that moved into my heart, I would be as vile and as wretched, or maybe worse than I ever was. Because if you're honest, we started out a little sinful, and as we get older, we get more sinful, more arrogant, more proud, more ungodly. And when He moved in, He says, boy, we're going to cut some of this mess out. Girl, we're going to cut some of this mess out. Now, granted, I still ain't what I ought to be. But I can tell you for a fact, I ain't what I used to be. I can tell you I ain't there no more. It says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are go through all kind of agonies. We go through all kind of stresses. We go through all kind of heartaches. But I want you to understand, while we're going through these things, we have one who has conquered it all. We have one who will deliver us through everything. I am not distressed because I know I have an end. You could kill me, but I have an end. You can put me in jail, but I have an end. You could do bad things to me, but I have an end. I am not distressed because there's a Savior who is waiting for me. In fact, He ain't just waiting for me. He's going to bring me on. Says, and then it says, we are perplexed. Man, we've been perplexed a lot here lately. We have. I have. If you ain't been perplexed lately, you need to wake up and smell the roses. Because we were without a pastor. We were without a lot of things going on. We've had deaths and we've had things happening. And we were sitting here saying, wonder why. What's happening? What's going on? What's this? What's that? Why, Lord? Why, God? We're perplexed at wanting to know reasons. It says, I'm perplexed but not in despair, because we know that all things worketh to good to Him that loves God, to them that are thee called according to His purpose. Now that doesn't make a lot of help when you're someone just passed away. That does not give a lot of comfort when you need to know dry scripture. But the comfort is there. God has made a promise. God has made a statement. And while I might not get all goosebumpy and warm sometime at these things, in my heart I know that God never lies. God never deceives. God never changes His mind. In one place, in Malachi, it says, I change not. I'm so glad He don't change. Me, I'm like water sometimes. I run this away and I run that way. If you put a rock in front of me, I'll go around that way. I'm like water, but God, He never changes. It says, persecuted. And I don't think we've seen any real persecution in this church yet. Not in America. Now, we may be getting there, but I don't think we have. But we are persecuted, but not forsaken. God does not leave His children. Now, if you're still with the other crowd, that guy's going to leave you. In fact, everybody says, well, he's in charge in hell. No, he ain't in charge in hell. He ain't even in hell right now. The devil ain't there. He's here. The devil right now is probably watching, or his buddies, his pals, his helpers are watching what's going on right here, right now. And he's either having a bad day or a good day. I hope we're making him miserable. I might be persecuted, but I'm never, never forsaken. Unless you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you do not have that promise. Unless you've turned your life to God, unless you have said, God, save me, forgive me, one day He will turn from you. He will have them tie you all up, hand and foot, and carry you out to the lake of fire and you'll be gone. Just like that. Always bearing about in the bodies the dying of our Lord of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Christ might be made manifest in our body. We need to walk Christ. That's the hardest thing we've got to do. That's the hardest thing that I have to do, is that I, first of all, am not Christ. I'm not. And though I strive to be like Him, I fail. So if you're waiting till the day that one day when I'm as good and cleaned up and pretty and everything as I need to be, that I'm going to believe on Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that saved people ain't even done that yet. I'm sorry, we haven't. But being saved ain't about you cleaning up your act. Being saved ain't about you getting good as Christ and then coming to Him and saying, "Look at me, Lord, I'm ready to be saved now." Being saved is coming to Jesus Christ just where you're at. Just the way you are. It says, "For we which live are always delivered unto death." That goes back to Romans again. Accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But in that thing, we are victors. We are victors when we go through those things. We are delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. I hope nobody here ever goes through that. I hope nobody here ever has to be a martyr or prove that they will stand by the stuff to the very last breath. But I also hope that if you ever get called to that place, if God lifts you to that calling, that we would be praying without ceasing for you to stand fast in whatever God's doing with you. There's been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who were sawn in skins, who were stretched asunder, who were cut apart, who were sworded to death, who were thrown into animals, because they would not renounce the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, that we might be that strong. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Now I'm thinking the apostles saying that, because if you notice, what happened to all the apostles? Most of them, except John, I believe, had a very terrible ending. But I think that all the apostles went through these very terrible endings, that we might see it is worth it. That we might see that they stood by the stuff, that we might follow after them. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how rough it gets, no matter what trial or tribulation or temptation or whatever goes through our life, that we might stand fast in Jesus Christ. Not in all puffed up about who I am, and the fact that if I'm able to stand at all is because He gave me strength. He gave me power. He gave me... And I have nothing in myself. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, "I believe, therefore have I spoken." We also believe and therefore speak. And I'll admit that I don't have all the theology stuff down. But I do know who I believe in. And He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I believe that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. I believe that He is God, and He ain't a man. He's holy God, and He's worthy. It says, I have this Spirit, the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, you have this Spirit. If you ever believe or talk about Jesus Christ in a saving manner, that someone needs to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have that Spirit. Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you, all who believe, whether they're in the grave now, whether we get raptured out in a minute, or whether we all see the grave, There's going to be a day when Jesus Christ will raise up all the believers together, not one above another, not one more holy than another, but all of us in Christ, all of us to be glorified in Christ, all of us to bring glory to God the Father through Christ. It says He will present us with you, not just the apostles, not just Moses and Elijah and all those guys, but all of us who believe will be raised up together to glorify God. For all things are for your sakes. All these things, all the things in the Old Testament, all the rules and all the regulations and all the things where people failed and all the things where people succeeded. Just think about poor old David. And I say poor old David, a man after God's own heart. But if you really let the world analyze this man, he messed up a lot. He did a lot of things. You say, how could a Christian do that? And yet he was a man after God's own heart. Like I said, I'm perplexed sometimes. How can I add the two together and make it add up? It's hard for me. But I can say this, God said it. And it ain't because I believe it settled it. God said it, that settled it. God said David was a man after God's own heart. I hope that maybe one day he looks at me and he says, that boy. Maybe not quite as good as David, I don't know. But I do know this, he has set his love on me as a believer. If you're a believer, he has set his love on you. If you're ever going to be a believer, he has set his love on you. And just like he loved David, and just like he made promises to David, he has made promises to every believer. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. God. I don't want to lift me up when I get there. I don't want to lift up anybody else when I get there. It ought to be to the glory of God. It's all about God. He saves people to get glory. Sad thing is, he condemns people to get glory also. It's a two-edged sword there. But both ways, he will always, always get glory. For which cause we faint not. Don't faint. If I could pump you up, if I could say, stay by the stuff. If there's any way in the flesh, and I know we're in the Spirit because it says in Romans, if you think all these things, we're in the Spirit. But if there's any way that we could pump ourselves up, I want to warn you that when you think you're getting it done, be careful. When you think you've attained, be careful. It says here, for which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. My outward man, I ain't near what I used to be, I guarantee you. I don't climb tall mountains in a single bound anymore. I can't even leap over rocks without falling down. I want you to understand, while this outward thing is getting more feeble and getting more aches and getting more pains, the inward man has a battle that's going on in there also. And that inward man, if we're studying, if we're staying by the stuff, if we're putting all of our confidence in Jesus Christ, if we're at outward, the inward man will be renewed. It says we get new grace every day. You see, there was a lot of grace yesterday. But when I woke up this morning, he didn't reach into the old bag. He reached into the new bag with more grace to make it through today. And when I wake up in the morning, there's going to be new grace again to go again. It says, I'll be done just a second or so maybe. For the light afflictions. Have you thought about what we've been going through and what we've been doing? The building floods, the buildings being rebuilt, the buildings over there is being taken care of. We've been struggling, we've been working, we've been sweating, we've been toiling. And yet all this was just light afflictions. Affliction. Light affliction. I don't want no heart affliction. I mean, that may sound odd, but that was just light affliction, which is but for a moment. The last year or so is gone. The last 60-something years for me, it's gone. I'm going down that last home stretch. If there's anything I could tell you that's... Wait a minute. You're on your last home stretch too. Even the little ones. You don't realize it. But your life is just a vapor. Just a moment. You're already on the end run. Today is the day. Now is the time. You may not have a year or two to figure things out. Says, the light afflictions which are but for a moment worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In other words, I would say, whatever we're doing now is going to make an eternal difference. Whatever we're doing now for God is going to make an eternal difference. And it's going to hurt. If you think you got drafted into a country club, you're wrong. This Christian life hurts. We have to pray for those who go through troubles. We have to worry about those who are not as strong. We have to worry about those who are very strong. We have to pray and we have to do and we have to do witnessing and stuff like that. This is not a drop in the bucket. You just got saved and He just brushes things along. If you're going to walk this walk, you're going to have you're going to have troubles. And then you're going to have perplexities. And then you're going to have persecutions. And if you ain't had enough, I'm sure we can read some more somewhere else. That's enough to cover my boat for this morning. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen. Let's get our mind off of what we see around us. Now don't get me wrong, we live in this world, we stay in this world, we're part of this world, and yet my mind, my home is not here. My home is already in the heavens. My home is already seated and settled. It says, while I look at the things which are seen, not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. I can't see heaven. And I'd lie to you if I said I've seen Christ, because I haven't. But in my heart, I kind of got a pretty good idea of what I'm looking for. It says, not worrying about the things that I can see, the houses and the buildings and the grass and the cars and all the stuffs, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. This stuff's... My neighbor across the road is trying to burn down just yesterday morning. I believe it was. The day before yesterday. I'm glad he wasn't home. I'm glad he wasn't there. He could have never saved it. But he would have died trying. It says, these things... And I've been through fires before and stuff like that, floods. We threw away half of this church. Threw it all, piled it up right out there. Just stuff. But some people had their hearts fixed on some of that stuff. It's gone. And we start over. But I'm looking for something that's not seen. But the things which are not seen are eternal. My home in glory. Those that I may have witnessed to that may be saved in Christ. I don't know how many they may be. Maybe one, I hope. Maybe hundreds, I don't know. Only God gives the increase. I'm glad I don't keep score. I'd be a miserable guy if I had a record. So look at all the guys I saved, Lord. And he got up there and said, I don't see but one on that list that got there. That'd be scary. But I do know this. God gives the increase. God is worthy. God is holy. So if we can, we need to look on the things that are maybe not so seen as the things that are seen. If you will, brother, sing us a song.
if God has saved you, you sure would like to become those about that.
Come to page 203. Let's all stand, please. Let's sing the first verse and the last verse. 203.